But they'll have to be a Trump supporter. If they try to sort of poop on Trump or parse, it's not going to go well. And that's my theory, and I want to run that and a couple of other theories behind Brian Fraley, who's a political consultant. He's run campaigns. He's president of Edge Messaging in Brookfield. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good to talk to you again. It's been a little while.
Yeah.
So this has become a solidly Republican congressional district. Is that because Duffy's in it, or is it has it? Do you think it's a legitimately red district that will probably stay in Republican hands?
It should stay in Republican hands, but they can't take anything for granted. And a special election always provides a better and unique opportunity for the party out of power in the White House, just because they can focus resources, they could raise money nationally, ride the wave of whatever's happening at the moment to try to win a seat that they otherwise couldn't win.
Right,
I
think
this is a solid, solid Republican seat. It was trending that way before redistricting in 2011. It is even more so now. But, I mean, Trump won it by 20 points.
Right, right. And when you look at the timing, when the race is held will matter. Yeah. Do you know what the rule is? Can Evers just let this sit open until next fall if he wants to? Or is there a rule that says it's got to be the next election?
The rule is really obscure, and I'm not going to bore you with the 25 days, no more than 72, whatever.
Right.
He has to call it soon. I think the latest it could probably go would be to have the general election coincide with the spring election.
Which would make sense. It would save the taxpayers money.
It would save the taxpayers a lot of money, but the Democrats may not want to do that because they're expecting a large turnout across the state anyway because of the presidential primary.
Right.
But Justice Kelly is up at the same time. So do they want to put a competitive race where Republicans are probably going to win on the ballot at that time, boosting turnout for Justice Kelly? Or will they, finagle it so that the general election is on the primary day when more Democrats are going to vote? I don't know.
To me, that was my next question. Is it strategically smart or stupid to have Governor Evers schedule this during a spring election when the Democrats believe they have a big presidential primary turnout? They might not end up this. You know how presidential primaries go. There's often the thought that we could have a brokered convention, and then it's really over early. They could also have a decision on Biden or Warren by the time they get to Wisconsin, and they won't have a huge turnout.
That is correct, and it is hard to tell. I mean, people could be up in arms because of tariffs on the day of the election, or they could be jumping for joy because unemployment is below 3% again. It is impossible to predict the electorate, 3-4 months out now. Things are so volatile. What Governor Evers should do, though, is he should make a decision soon. He shouldn't drag this out for several weeks. Congressman Duffy gave him a month's notice for when he was going to leave, so they can put the ball into motion. Governor Evers should make a decision this week.
We're talking with Brian Fraley of Edge Messaging. By the way, I like your morning voice. There's a little more Barry White to it than normal.
Yeah, it's the pre-coffee voice. I mean, I don't have the old radio guy cigarette smoking voice.
So no, thank heaven.
Never happened with me.
So, who are the most likely names on the GOP and the Democrat side here? I know that there are a couple of Democrats up there that are, at least one of them is kind of has a reputation for being a clunker, and his name was tossed around yesterday. Nick Milroy of South Range.
Whatever.
Then there's Janet Buley of Mason, who hasn't made a big splash either. But what do you think in terms of Republican side of the aisle?
On the Republican side, Tom Tiffany is working the phones really hard.
He's a good senator. Isn't he a good state senator?
Good conservative guy, small business owner, supper club owner, and a restaurant tourism guy up there. I mean, then you've got another restaurant owner, Rob Swearingen. I mean, every state representative and senator is up there is going to look into it because it's a free shot for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jerry Petrowski from Wausau, a little more moderate, but very conservative and a lot of issues, and a good track record of getting things done that might play really well across the district. And then you've got wild card outside candidates like Luke Hilgeman, the former CEO of AFP National, who has a real understanding of the grassroots, has a really good network, has the ability to tap into some money. So I've talked about a bunch of men, right?
Mm-hmm.
There could be a dark horse female candidate from the business community, maybe a local chamber type. I know that there's just a lot of people testing the waters.
Right, and Adam Jarko is a former state lawmaker who
Go back Tiffany.
Right.
If Tiffany runs, he said he's only going to run if only really squishy moderates.
Yeah, he said which would have been a shot at Jerry Petrowski. No.
Yeah, I think so. Probably. Okay. Just because Petrowski is like 90% conservative in Jarko's mind, and I like former Representative Jarko. So I mean, there's a good crop of candidates.
So do you agree that any?
Trump won Wisconsin because of the 7th congressional district. No doubt about it.
That was my next.
He won Wisconsin because of up there.
So that was my next question. So do you agree that any Republican who runs to replace Duffy in that district is going to have to be a genuine and unabashed Trump supporter, or is he going to fake it really well? You don't think so?
No. I don't think that they have to be a Trump supporter in the vein of Duffy, who is Trump's number one supporter in the congressional delegation. But they need to be a Trump supporter in the vein of Senator Johnson, who, it doesn't go out of their way to say what's wrong with Trump, doesn't try to pick fights, say when he thinks he's right, when he thinks he's wrong. The winner is going to focus on local issues. It's not going to take pot shots at the president because that won't work. You're not going to win if you try to distinguish yourself from the head of the party. That's not going to win. But the person that's going to win is the person who works hard, smart, raises enough money, and focuses on the issues people care about out there. Now, the tariff issue, that's what I would be, listening to people and polling on right now, is to find, what is the level of anxiety in that particular congressional district regarding tariffs. Who do they blame? They very well could just blame China, and nothing could splash up on the president. I haven't seen data there yet, but I would, I would talk to people I know up there. I'd not necessarily formal focus groups, but informal focus groups, and get a feel for the level of anxiety. I think that is an issue that's bubbling.
It might be the issue.
I don't think it jeopardizes the Republicans' chance. They lose this seat if they take it for granted.
Yeah, it might be the issue.
Race and run decent candidates, they win.
So. Does Sean Duffy leaving hurt President Trump? He's certainly a good cheerleader who knew the district well.
Yeah, it hurts President Trump in a big way because Congressman Duffy, not only was he a good congressman and voted the right way, he was a good politician. He was an excellent retail politician. I mean, and make no bones about it, Sean Duffy's not dead. And this is, I think, a temporary step away from electoral politics. He's still talked about as a potential candidate for governor or senator in 2022. He has a strong network. Hell, he had speaking engagements down here. I'm sure many of your listeners, Republican listeners, activists, have seen him speak at Lincoln Day dinners or rallies or whatever. That you can't copy or just transfer the enthusiasm that Duffy would bring. He and his wife,
and
I don't think they're going away, but they certainly won't be doing as many events.
And this is the thing, you have to take care of the child first, but this is three and a half years away. If you're certain the baby is better and healthy and is on the road to recovery, then, do you think about 2022? You still have to have a year or two of planning for that. I mean, you still have to have...
Without a doubt, but it's a lot easier to run for a state seat when you're not, flying to Washington every week.
Too. Absolutely.
And then you spend your time with the family, and I know a lot of people are like, well, this is so shocking. This can't be the reason. It's the reason. It's the reason. And he may have be working on a more lucrative, financially job, for him that help him pay for these, unexpected costs. But there's no other shoe to drop, no scandal. I know the Democrats are trying to peddle some sort of rumors and innuendos. That's just, Sean Duffy is too smart to know that if there was something, it would come out no matter what. Take him at his word. He's a man of honor, and when he said this is why he's stepping down, that's why he's stepping down.
So do you think this takes him off the chessboard, at least temporarily, for 2022? Does it create openings for second-tier candidates like maybe Rebecca Clayfish or Paul Farrell or Scott Fitzgerald, that sort of thing?
Yeah, I don't know that I would list those guys as second-tier candidates.
Well, what I mean. I think that you have got Ron Johnson and Sean Duffy, who could have pretty much selected their race, and then you got the rest.
Yeah, you got guys with big higher name ID and a lot more access to political funds,
right?
I don't think it takes him off the chessboard at all, and I don't think anyone who's looking at this, it changes his profile in that he won't be getting a lot of earned media for appearances on Fox and Friends and stuff as a congressman, but he may still be have a high profile because of whatever he does next. We don't know. I think we have to stay tuned, see what happens, you know, at the turn of the year.
Thank you very much, sir. Good stuff.
Thanks a lot, Jay, and I appreciate your appreciation of my morning voice. See if I can keep that.
Yeah, I think your wife will like it, too. Take care. It is 6:25 on WIS, and Brian Fraley of Edge Messaging joining me this morning. He has some interesting stuff. He's made some very good points there.